So mothers are certainly that. So this will include you in it today. But have you ever thought, just really thought about the person that you are today? And like maybe how did I become the person that I am today? I'll tell you what's made me think about this lately is when my kids do something that I don't like, right? I see something in them that annoys me. I'm like, where do they get that from? Right? Any of you catching on yet? Are any of you in the same boat as me? Like, where do they get this from? And I'm like, Christy, do they get this from me or from you? And Christy, being as sweet as she is, she'll be like, I think from both of us. What she really means is me. Okay? I get it. I understand. But have you ever thought about that, where you have picked up certain behaviors and even certain mindsets and habits that you have? Who has influenced your life? Have you ever reflected on that and thought about it? We tell people to be themselves, right? The whole time kids are growing up, be yourself. If you have a sibling that did great things, it's like, no, I don't want you to hold you to their standard. I want you to be yourself. And that's true, right? We don't want them to be somebody else. We say, be yourself. And then even in society, we see the cool thing is to be original, right? To like buck all the trends and kind of do your own thing. I want to be an original. But do you know there's really no original people walking around today? There may be you may have some original combinations, right? You may be different than a sibling because you have different combinations. And so in particular, the person might be original, but you're not really original because you've pulled things from different people. You weren't the originator. You weren't the beginning. You weren't the creator of those things. Many of you know that we were all created as a copy. We're all created as a copy of the original. We're created in the image of God. Then we had to be born into this world, this sinful, fallen world, full of corruption. And that image of God, immediately, even as a baby, it starts to be conformed and shaped by the things around us, by the people that are around us. We pick up things from mom and dad, right? We pick up things from brother and sister, grandparents. We pick up things from aunts and uncles and cousins and friends and enemies. You know that? You pick up things from enemies? We pick up things from people on TV, celebrities. We pick up things from the people we run into in the gas station or Walmart, strangers. People are constantly learning. People are constantly picking up things from others. And so for the cool people that are originators, you're not an originator. You're an imitator. We're all imitators. We're all imitating something. And we have these combinations of influence throughout our life. And many of these we probably don't even recognize as influences at the time, right? It's something that just happens over time with exposure. But imitating is a part of who we are. It's something that is built into our nature, is to be an imitator. We're supposed to imitate, but who are we supposed to imitate? Jesus. Remember what Tony preached last week? For those of you that weren't here, highly recommend you to go online and listen to Tony Simon's message. It was about follow me, right? It was when he saw Jesus speak. He saw the words, follow me. And it was like, not like, Jesus did speak to him through that. Like, it was like he was right there speaking it directly to him, because that's what the living word does. We're supposed to imitate Christ and let the Holy Spirit conform those combinations that have been corrupted into the image of Christ. That's the whole purpose, the Holy Spirit and sanctification. He's taking the image that was perfect in the image of God that has been corrupted by the world, corrupted by people and things around us, and the Holy Spirit is turning that image back into the image of Christ, back into the image of God. This is the process of sanctification. So we got that, but have you ever considered the people that might be following you? How many of you, that frightens you to think about the people that might be following you and thinking about you, looking to you? Because see, everybody is influenced by others. Everybody's influenced by others, but also everybody influences others. And you might think, well, I don't have any real particular influence over any specific people. Absolutely, you do. Everybody has influence over others. And so the thing we need to think about is when they imitate you, when they're picking up things from you, what are they picking up? Parents, I'm telling you, those things that you can't stand about your kids, they probably got from you. Most of the, that's why it bothers you so much, right? I've started to learn this, okay? My kids are 17 and almost 13, and I'm just figuring out that I am the problem, all right? And my mom says, amen, right? Okay, I'm just figuring this out, that a lot of the things I don't like in them are actually the things that I do, things they've picked up from me. So when people imitate you, what are they imitating? 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said this. He said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Other translations, most of the other ones actually say, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Now, how many of you in this room feel like you can just say this to people with confidence? How many of you are going to go out to lunch today and be like, follow me as I follow Christ, right? How many of you are confident saying that even in your home? Follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. How many of you feel maybe a little bit unworthy to be followed? It's all right to be honest. Maybe afraid that others aren't seeing enough of Christ in you. But here's the kicker. It doesn't matter how you feel, people are following you. They are. It's not dependent on whether you feel like you're worthy or you feel like you're doing a good enough job. People are still following, regardless of how you feel about it. People are imitating the things that you do and the things that you say. People are already following your example. The question is, are you following Jesus? Are you following Jesus? This wasn't a one-time statement for Paul. If you go back and read that, read there chapter 11, verse 1, you actually need to read the end of chapter 10. Most commentaries, when you read them, they say that when they broke that off, they should have done it after verse 1. It kind of goes more with the verses before it than it does after it. But Paul, he talks about this following him as he follows Christ after he explains to you the things that he's been doing for the kingdom, okay? So it wasn't just a follow me as I follow Christ. He's like, here's what I've been doing for God, now imitate this, okay? But it wasn't a one-time thing for him. He said in 1 Corinthians 4:16, so I urge you, be imitators of me just as a child imitates his father. That's out of the Amplified Version. And then Philippians 3:17, he said, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Who do you think he's talking about there? Keep your eyes on those who live as we do. He's talking about all believers, all Christians. Anybody who lives as we do, keep your eyes on them. You're going to pick things up from them. You're going to need to follow them. You're going to need to learn from them. Do you know that there's no better sermon than a good example? Like, it doesn't matter what I stand up here and say. If you just walk out a godly life and show that example to other people, they're going to pick up on that more than what they're going to pick up on me up here speaking. Because they're going to learn over time. They're going to follow that example. One of the greatest preachers of all time, Jonathan Edwards, he was so concerned about the example that he was setting for others to imitate that he aimed to never to do anything which I would be afraid to do if it was the last hour of my life. That was his goal. My goal is to never do anything that I wouldn't do if it was the last hour of my life. Basically, all those things where you're like, this is kind of borderline, kind of shady, or maybe I just don't have a very good attitude, but if I knew it was the last hour of my life, I'd be repentant. I can't remember who I was talking to recently. Somebody told me they were in, like, pretty much what they thought was going to be a near-death experience, so they were repenting, right? They're like, forgive me, Lord, for this, that, and the other thing. Shouldn't we live our whole life like that? Shouldn't we live our whole life like, if this is the last hour I'm going to live, maybe I should be living like it's the last hour, right? Or if it's not the last hour, I should be living like it is. We should always be living like that. Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And I've heard people teach and I've heard people preach about how we should never follow a man. We should only follow Jesus, right? Only follow the man, Jesus. That's it. And while technically that's true, there is a responsibility of men and women upon this earth. Why do people exist? We've already heard about it today. Why do we even exist? What are we here for? We're here to worship him, right? To praise him. We're here to bring him glory. We're here for his purpose and that alone. But I'm going to tell you, that's an eternal purpose, right? Your eternal purpose is to worship him. Do you realize he doesn't have to have you here on this earth to worship him? We're going to be doing that when we get to heaven too. That's an eternal purpose, is worship. It's part of what you do here on this earth, but it's what you'll forever do as a child of God. Worshiping is an eternal purpose. But do you know that you have a temporary purpose? Right? What's my purpose on this earth? It's, of course, still to worship him, but we have a temporary purpose, and that's to be an example of Jesus to others. That's what your purpose is on this earth. We like to cut it short as the worship. If I just worship God, I'm doing my purpose. Okay, well, you are. You're doing an eternal purpose. What's your temporary purpose? Why are you here today on this earth? Why are you still here? When we tell people get healed of a serious illness, or maybe they come through some tremendous difficulty, what's something that we often tell them, right? See, I told you, God's not done with you yet. He has more for you to do. And I'm not mocking that. That's true, right? We tell people that. We're like, I knew God wasn't done with you yet. There's some people at the nursing home that when I go out there, and I have that go out there today, and there's a couple of them where it breaks my heart. Every time I go out there, they talk about how they wish that the Lord would just take them. Right, they're ready to go. And I say, you know what, God is not done with you. Then they're like, well, what good am I doing in here? And I said, well, you bring a smile to my face when I come out here. There's one of them that told me just a couple of turns ago, they're like, I love when you come out here and preach, this sweet old lady. She's like, there's something about you. I see like this something on your face whenever you're preaching. And she's like, actually, it's in your eyes. She's like, there's something in your eyes. This like pierces my soul. She's like, and it speaks right to me. And it's such a blessing. And I left there like, my goodness, what an edification. Like I left there like I could have just floated back to the church. I was like, that was amazing. I went there to minister to them. And this lady ministered to me. And I was like, so I tell them, you know, if you're here in that nursing home, you're here to be the example of Christ to the people around here. There's things for you to do. There's work that's still there for you to do. We tell people that, but do we believe it for our own lives? If there's something for you to do, God's not done with you. If God has more for you to do, what is that? What is the more that he has for you to do? Worship can be done in heaven. That's an eternal purpose. There's more for you to do. And that's to be the light in a dark world. How many of you know this world is pretty dark? It may not look like it today, but last week you would have agreed with me when it was raining all the time, right? It's a dark world. Followers of Jesus are critical to this world because we need to get the people who don't follow Jesus to follow us as we follow Christ, to follow the example that we set in following Christ. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It doesn't say see your good works so they can give you a pat on the back. Right? It says, so they can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Praise God for what you are doing through these people. You know, this isn't just a message for parents today because you have children, but this is for everybody because everybody is an example to somebody. It certainly applies to parents because you are in your own home, but everybody's an example to somebody. And this is why I believe so much in leadership development. It's why we're doing the Saturday night leadership service, because we're all leaders. Every single person is a leader. The question is, where are you leading people to? What are you leading people to? And I'm definitely not saying follow a man instead of following Christ, but I'm saying sometimes you have to follow a man to Christ. It's a person that is probably going to introduce you to who Jesus is. It's a person that's probably going to show you the things we read in the Word modeled out so you can see how they actually work in life. Okay, some of you may get a physical manifestation of Jesus Christ in your living room, and he may tell you what to do and how to do it, and that's awesome. Some of you are going to get it from the Word reading on your own, but you know what? We were never meant to do this alone. We were meant to do this together by following each other's examples. How many of you know the old saying, do as I say, not as I do? I think I've shared it before. How many of you have said it? Come on. I've said it before. It's been a while. I learned my lesson. I think that saying stinks, right? Do as I say, not as I do. Because a lot of times people use it as an excuse that I'm not going to live this way. But you should, right? Especially parents, like, no, I'm not, no more candy for you. And then next thing you know, you're eating a donut, right? It's like, but you just told me I couldn't have candy. This happens with Xander sometimes, so I have to eat Oreos in my bedroom, right? But, okay, listen, I didn't have like 3 sugary snacks already today, like Xander would have, but the saying, do as I say, not as I do, people use it as an excuse. They use it as an excuse to live a sloppy life, a sinful life. They use it for just a way to tell someone else to do something, but not to hold themselves accountable. But at the same time, I can see a good aspect to that. If it's said with real, true conviction, it's kind of like the world's version of follow my example as I follow Christ, right? Because when he says, follow my example as I follow Christ, Paul's not boasting in himself and what he's doing. He's talking ultimately about the Christ that he follows. Because following a man, there's a fine line between following a man and following a man that's following Christ. Right? Following godly principles, godly leadership. Ephesians 5:1 said, therefore become imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example. As well-beloved children, imitate their father. We know that Jesus came and died on the cross, saving us from our sins so that we could be forgiven if we place hope and trust and faith in him. He died as a sacrifice, but do we remember what he did before that? He lived as an example. He lived as an example. He's the great example for us to imitate. He's the pattern, right? He's the standard. He's the original that we are being made copies of as we're molded and shaped by the Holy Spirit. What were we commissioned to do? In Matthew 28, what are we commissioned to do? Go, make disciples of all the nations. And he says, teaching them to observe the things that I've commanded. We do this by teaching them what he said, but also by modeling them in our lives, by doing those very things ourselves. You know, when I was a teenager, my favorite baseball player was Marcus Eugene Grace. That's how much he is my favorite player. It's the back of the cards. I knew it all. I knew his full name, middle name, all of it. Marcus Eugene Grace. Mark Grace was a first baseman for the Chicago Cubs, and I loved the way he played the game. Okay? He was a go-getter. He was a gold glove first baseman. He actually led all of baseball in the 90s, most singles and most doubles in the 90s. Okay, I wasn't a big guy, so I wasn't out there hitting home runs, so I liked the guy that could just get on base, all right, and then run real slow, like me. So I liked Mark Grace. He was the guy that I followed. He was the guy that I imitated when we were out playing baseball at the schoolyard. I would pretend to be Mark Grace. Now, there's a problem here. Mark Grace is left-handed. My left hand is really only good for driving. I've shared this many times with you guys. I don't know what other function than for doing this. I can drive with it and I can do this. Mark Grace was left-handed, so I would learn to bat left-handed, and I could kind of pull it off. I couldn't hit anything, but I could look like I was batting left-handed. But then there was a problem when it came to fielding and throwing. Like, I couldn't throw with my left hand. If I could not throw a ball to hit Donald right now with my left hand, it probably would hit Craig. All right? I would be way off. So I was trying to imitate Mark Grace, and I did what I could to pretend that I was him and to imitate him like a lot of young baseball fans do. Young kids, right? Like Dalton Myers. He knows like all the different Cardinal stances and all this stuff. It's what young boys do if they like baseball. They imitate players and they try to stand, like bat like them. And I did this with Mark Grace. And he ultimately went on to play for the Diamondbacks and he won a World Series with them. So I didn't follow him much because once he left my team, I quit following him. But I'm thankful now that his influence on my life was limited by the little bit that I knew about him. Right? If you know anything about him, years later I find out about his third DUI and then more recently his fourth one where he did jail time. And this, at one point in my life, was my role model. Right? This is the person that I imitated. And thank God I only knew the part that I knew about him. Does anybody remember there was a Charles Barkley Nike commercial back around the same time in the 90s? And he said, "I am not a role model." Does anybody remember that? I know Jason probably remembers it. This is what he said. He said, "I am not a role model." He said, "I'm not paid to be a role model. I'm paid to wreak havoc on the basketball court. Parents should be role models. Just because I dunk a basketball doesn't mean I should raise your kids." This is a commercial on TV in the 90s or early 2000s. How many of you think that a commercial like that would fly today? Right, there'd be some kind of group would be protesting that about how basketball players should be raising our kids, right? But there's some truth to this, right? He's right in the sense that parents should be role models in raising their kids, but I have a real problem with the very first line, "I am not a role model." That's not true. That's not true. Here's what the definition of a role model is. It's a person looked to by others as an example to be imitated. That means you don't get to choose if you're a role model or not. Someone else chooses if you are their role model. Have you ever thought about that? Charles Barkley doesn't actually get to choose if he's a role model. Now listen, he's probably not anybody's role model. He acts kind of like a fool, okay? But you don't get to choose if you're a role model. Other people choose you. Here's what you do get to choose. You get to choose what role you are modeling. That's the important part. I don't get to choose if I'm a role model, but I get to choose what role I am going to model for the people who may look up to me. And when Paul said, "Follow my example as I follow Christ," he understood that he was a role model. He understood that in the church, people were looking to him, and he understood that there was a model for him to role, or a role for him to model, and it was the role of Jesus Christ in their life. Represent him, to be his ambassador. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God." We represent Jesus on the earth. Not the Pope. He can be a part of it, I guess, but he is not Jesus on the earth. We, believers, the church, filled with the Spirit, we are Christ's representatives on the earth. And when people see us, they should see Jesus in us. They should see him in us. They should see the goodness of God and desire a relationship with God because of that goodness. They should desire that reconciliation with the Father. Is this what they see in you? Is this what people see in you? Is it what your children see in you? I still love what TJ shared from the men's conference. The thing that spoke to him the most was when your children look at you, you should be the godliest person that they know. That's a great, tremendous challenge, and I believe it's a great challenge for us today. What about your friends when they look at you? Are you the godliest person they know? Do they see Christ in you? Or do they see, once I get around my friends, I'm kind of, you know, I got like church Tim and non-church Tim. When I get around my friends, I, you know, get a little lazy, a little slacked. I hope not. That's the people you're supposed to be witnessing to, right? Most of us in here don't really need witnessing to each other, right? We all know who Jesus is and we're probably saved, as far as I can tell. But we do need to be showing people outside this place who he is. Our friends, our co-workers. You are someone's role model. Are you modeling Jesus to them? Hebrews 13:7, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. I know there's some tremendous men and women of God that are responsible for us being here today. Right? Some of you know those people in your life. Some of them, for you, those people might be in this room. Do you imitate their faith? I know one is Betty Fiesel. If it wasn't for Betty Fiesel, Sherry wouldn't be here. And if it wasn't for Sherry, I wouldn't be here. Right? So Betty Fiesel is like, she's like a queen in the kingdom to me. Right? And she still supports us financially and prays for us all the time. Right? She is someone who is a leader. And I consider the outcome of her way of life and try to imitate her faith. That's a good thing to do. It's all leading back to Jesus. But do you know that you cannot accurately model someone that you don't actually know? In the instance of Mark Grace, that was a great thing for me, that I couldn't actually imitate someone that I didn't know. I only had the knowledge of him that he was a baseball player. I didn't know about his personal life. I was limited in influence, so I didn't do those bad things that he did. But let's look at that in Christianity. You can't accurately model someone that you don't really know. For you to accurately model Christ, you have to know him. Like, not know about him, you have to know him. Not just know who he is, not just know what the word says, but you have to intimately, privately know him on a personal level. And when Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ, he says, imitate me. Imitate my imitation of Jesus. In the same manner that I follow Jesus, follow me. Now that kind of goes back to the don't do as I do as I say type of thing. He's saying, don't follow the things that are not godly of me. He says, in the same manner, it's in the same way that I follow the example of Christ, follow me. 3 John 1:11 says, dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. It doesn't matter if they're trying to imitate him. If they're doing evil, they haven't seen him. They don't know him. They're not imitating the real God. They're imitating a false God, a God that's been made up in their mind. Do you know that there's people who think that they know Jesus and what they're worshiping is some false made up God that they made to conform to their image? They made to do what they think, like my God wouldn't send somebody to hell. Well, then your God's not Jesus, right? I mean, I hate to be mean, but it's just the reality of it. He is the creator of hell, right? Satan didn't make hell, but that's his destiny. That's where he's heading. And we know that Jesus is a just God, that the Father is just in all of his ways. And when he makes those decisions on that day, he will be just in doing so. And he's given everybody a chance. Everybody has an opportunity to repent. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. See, Paul knew that he was a sinner and that he was saved by grace through faith, right? Then he called himself the chief of all sinners. He knew that that's who he was. But he knew that he wasn't perfect. He knew that he fell short at times. And I think we read this verse sometimes and we think it says, I am perfect like Jesus is perfect, so follow me. That's not what he says. He's saying, look at my life and the things that I do that look like Jesus, do those things. Follow me to the degree that I follow Christ. Follow me in the manner that I follow Christ. What did it look like? What did Paul's life look like? Galatians 2:20, it says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul lived a sacrificial life where he had given his life to Christ and said, I am yours, have your way with me, do what you want. This is the kind of example he's telling people to follow when he says, follow me, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ who gave his life for us. In Acts 20:19, he says, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. This is the kind of following that he says, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears as I was going through trials and tribulations. This is what he's asking you to imitate. And so the question is for us is what in my life, what things in my life look like Jesus? Because those are the things that I want people to imitate. Now those things that don't model Jesus, I need to be working on those. And you know what? Sometimes we just need to be real and be honest. I feel like we've grown in that as a church family. Sometimes we need to be real and honest. If you've never apologized to somebody for something, doing something ungodly, saying something you shouldn't have, responding with a harsh tone or a harsh word, and you're like, ah, it's not that big of a deal, they'll get over it. No, apologize for that. Let them know right away, even if it's your child, even if it's your parent, even if it's someone that, you know, it'll be no big deal or roll off their back. No, godly behavior is repentance. I realize what I've done. I'm sorry about that. I'll try not to do that again. That's what we ought to be modeling for people. Christians say all the time that they want to see the world changed. So why don't we change it? I mean, if we really believe that, I would like to see this world be a better place. Don't you think that that starts with us? Don't you think that if you really want this world to change, that it starts with the children of God being different than the people in the world? Don't you think it starts with us being the example of what should this different, better world look like? Maybe some selfless people that love people, that help people, that are forgiving, that are not bitter. Doesn't that sound like what the church is supposed to be? We are supposed to be that example. Only God can change people's hearts. I've shared that a few times lately, and I'm going to tell you, I have a love-hate relationship with that truth. Right? Only God can change people's hearts. I love that it's in the hands of a perfect, holy, and just God. But I hate that I can't do it. Right? Wouldn't it be great to have the spiritual gifting of changing hearts? It's so true that only God can change hearts. But it's also true that people are supposed to see him in you and in me. And that when they see the goodness of God, it will lead them to repentance. It's the goodness of God that will lead people to repentance. Jason, if you'd come up. So there's some questions this morning. For us being that example, if you would just close your eyes for a minute, I want you to just think about these things. And if you want to jot some stuff down, you can open your eyes up to jot it down. But just consider some of these questions. Do you love like Jesus loves? I mean, that sacrificial love to the point of you would give your life for somebody besides just the people that live in your house. Do you forgive the way that Jesus forgives even when people don't deserve it, even when they should have known better, even when it hurt you, you still forgive? Are you humble like Jesus was humble? Jesus was a servant. Jesus put others' interests before himself, even though he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are you obedient like Jesus was obedient? Obedient all the way to death on the cross that he didn't actually, in his flesh, he didn't want to do. He prayed and said, Father, if it's your will, let this pass. But if it's not your will, or if it's your will for me to do it, I'll just do it. He was obedient all the way to the point of death. Do you make the will of God and the work of God the main priority in life like Jesus did? And I guarantee you that Jesus had laughs. I guarantee you that Jesus enjoyed time hanging out with people. But his focus, his priority was always the will of God. Are you selfless like Jesus is selfless? Where you put others before yourself. Are you willing to lay down your life for others like Jesus laid down his life for you? Are you that servant to others the way that Jesus was a servant? And are you willing to be the example of the example that Jesus set on this earth to those around you? If you would stand with me in this place. Church, this is on us. This is on the kingdom of God to be the example. It's on the kingdom of God to change the world if we want to see the world changed. You know what we need to do? We need to pray. And we've got that, right? We don't mind praying for this world to be a better place. We don't mind praying for God to move throughout the world. Holy Spirit, sweep this land. But what about our part? What about us being the example, being Christ on the earth? If you want to see the world changed, be the change you want to see in the world. I've got that on my desk in there. Jan gave me this piece of wood that says it on there, and it's awesome. Be the change you want to see in the world. You know what? If we think there ought to be more godly people, then how about, first of all, we be those godly people. Then second of all, we do the Great Commission. And that's raising up and supporting and walking with other people so that they can be godly people. If we think that there should be more godly influence, how about the Christians get out of the church and we go and we be godly influence? This is why we are here, church. People are watching. What model are we going to set? What example are we going to be for the world that is watching? You know, there's a world that's watching and waiting for Christians to mess up. But there's also people in this world that are waiting and watching for Christians to step up and to do something about what we see around us. Lip service just isn't going to cut it. It's not just us wishing that someone else. That's the main problem with Christianity, is everybody always thinks that everybody else is going to do something. You know what? Somebody's got to be the one to actually move. Somebody's got to be the one to actually kick it into action and be the example to those in their lives.